Okay. So before we start, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God. The big book, the steps, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others. Let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth and even see it. And help me carry the message today. Amen. All right, so I said tomorrow night we're doing page 17, There's a Solution. That's where we are on Sundays. On Wednesday night, we're on page 67. We're looking at the four step, and we've spent three meetings, I think, on resentment. And last Wednesday, we did freedom from anger, and that'll be on the site probably next weekend. And that was good. Pages 66, 67. Rodney told me it changed his life. Those three pages, if you live on those five paragraphs, your life will change. So Wednesday night, we're going to look at our mistakes, what's called the fourth column, and look at our character defects and which caused all of our problems in our life. And today, we are on the 10th, we finished the 10th step, and I'm going to review the paragraph on 85. All the instructions on how we live one day at a time, how we live the spiritual life, are on four pages. Five pages, believe it or not. Five pages tell you what you need to do all day long and at night and in the morning, so that you can lead a spiritual life in conscious contact with God. People want to make the program pretty complicated. It's five pages. We have a new person here. Our problem is separation from God. Our problem is not alcohol. We call it Alcoholics Anonymous. We name it after what we use as a solution for our spiritual problem. And today, I'm going to read on page 85. We covered this last week, but this paragraph's so important. What I want to do every day is be in fit spiritual condition. That means I'm connected to God, and if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I'll react well, right? The way God wants me to. And I can't stay in fit spiritual condition every minute because I'm a human being and I have self-will and I can separate. So step 10 is how we reconnect all the time when we're not in fit spiritual condition. Does this make sense? And if we react in fit spiritual condition, we won't drink. The problem will be removed and we'll react differently. So it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. So it's easy to let up. Let up on the spiritual program of action and have fit spiritual condition. Now, Brian and I were talking about somebody we love who came here for years and then stopped coming. And guess what? Bad things have happened. If you let up on the spiritual program and rest on your laurels, now it says it's easy to do. What do they mean by that? A lot of people do it because you start feeling better. Life's getting better. And you say, well, you know, I don't need to pray this morning. And it's okay if I scream and yell at the boss. That's okay. Once a day is not too bad. You know, it's amazing. And it says, why? You're headed for trouble. It doesn't say you may have trouble. You're headed for it. And you're going to hit it. For alcohol is a subtle foe. And I talked about that last week. It says we are not cured of alcoholism. Cured means the disease is completely eradicated, gone forever. We're not cured. We still have the disease, but we treat it every day. I used to use this analogy. I don't know if I can get it right. But when we come to Alcoholics Anonymous, we are a mess. We're coming to the ER, right? And we hit the ER, and we tell them, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm a mess. I can't go on anymore. My life's a complete mess. So the ER evaluates you, and of course it takes several hours, but they eventually put you upstairs in the room. And then when you get in the room, they give you these 12-step instructions. and you work the 12 steps. And when you've done the 12 steps, they say you're ready for discharge. So they discharge you out in the world. Well, if you don't do the 12 steps, guess where you end up again? In the ER. Now, if you only do 3 steps in the hospital and you tell them you're ready and you go out, you get a hospital, you get back quicker. But if you stop doing the program, you end up back in the ER. And so that's the deal. So it says, and like people have diabetes, so they take insulin for it every day. If you don't take the insulin every day, the sugars get out of control and you get in trouble. All right, we have to take our insulin every day. What is our insulin every day? Prayer, meditation, inventory, pages 84 to 88. And if we don't do it every day, our sugars start getting out of control. And then how many days can we go without insulin before we're in diabetic coma? Get the picture? Well, we really, and you know, we can forget that. We say, well, the diabetic coma is not that bad, you know, or it takes a while. I'll enjoy it before I get it. And it says we have a daily reprieve, that's a stay of execution, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition, a fit spiritual condition. To maintain a fit spiritual condition isn't maintenance. It's a lot of work to keep doing it. And Paul is shaking her head because she knows, we know. And if we stop doing it, guess what? We start seeing things. We get bothered. We are angry. We're fearful. We don't feel good. We're disturbed. It says every day is a day. So every day means every day. In AA, some people read this and say, well, it's not every day. It may only be Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right? Alcoholics don't read well. It says, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Must carry the vision of God's will. What do you think they mean by that? You think they mean must? Now, the key here is the vision of God's will into all our activities. Now, I used to read it, and I'm going to carry Michael's will with God's help. Anybody get that? It did work. God won't help me if I'm in charge. He'll say, good. Screw up your life. We must carry the vision. And how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. I was listening to a scripture lesson today, this morning, and they're talking about how prayer is so essential, but our prayers are to conform us to God's will for us, and not our will to conform to what we want God to do. Everything is starting with God's will. And we ask that his will be done, not mine. And there's a difference. And it says, these thoughts, so these are your thoughts, must go with you constantly. So what they're telling me, and I don't do it well, I'm better than I used to, all day long my thoughts must go on how I carry God's will into every activity. So if I'm in an activity and it's not going well, guess what? What will did I bring into it? My will. Good job, Michael. And here's a simple thing that I forget all the time. If I bring love into every activity, I'll get love back. If I bring hatred or intolerance or judgment, I get it back. So when you're in a bad activity and you're getting back something, you brought it. You see, if I'm disturbed, there's always something wrong with me. It's not them. And whatever they do, if you're bringing love into it, you can't be disturbed. You're in a position of neutrality. You'll say, boy, they're pretty upset. You know, feel bad for them. These thoughts, and we can exercise our willpower. Now, here's the key paragraph, why I read it again. We talk about willpower all the time, right? If I exercise my willpower along God's will, then I'll be okay. So willpower does work against drinking, but it has to be in contact with God's will. Now, one of my new buddies told me that at treatment, they summarized their lesson by saying, education trumps addiction. Now, that's so preposterous, because you can recite the big book on the way to the liquor store. Knowing more about my self-centeredness won't change my self-centeredness. Remember, I have to have God's help. What I need to know is that I need God's help, and I need to know what's wrong with me that God needs to remove. There's a difference. So there is some education, but it's not self-education. I need to be educated about God's will for me and how I get back to God. So here's where Joe at Charlie says you get your mind back. You get your mind back on page 85. You can use your mind now. You couldn't use it before 85 because it wasn't directed by God. But now if your willpower is aligned with God, you can do anything. And you can handle any situation, right? Because we're going to read in the next chapter how you can go anywhere where there's alcohol, right? As long as you don't have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. All right, now we're going to start on this last paragraph here. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. Now, Him who has, it's capital H, who has all knowledge and power, is how the AA book talks about God. All knowledge and all power, which means my knowledge and my power is not going to help me. I need God's knowledge and God's power, right? And remember, knowledge of God is the opposite of agnostic. And we start out as agnostics. All of us, we can believe in God, but we don't know God because we've never had a relationship with Him. I used to pray for things when I needed help. Anybody else do that? And I had no knowledge of God's power in my life because I never used Him and allowed Him to work. And so a lot of people say, oh, God didn't take care of me. I ended up in AA and this and that. You hear all that nonsense. And, oh, I don't believe in God because look what happened to me. Well, hello. Remember, you get the postcard from God. Welcome to AA. You've completely screwed up your whole life. You've made it unmanageable. You've effed it up. Good job. Fire yourself. And it's signed God. You didn't get that one yet, Skip. You'll get it next week. You'll get it next week. I've gotten several of those because it takes a while, right? We throw them away. We say, well, I don't know what he means, right? It doesn't make any sense. Him who has all knowledge. And notice, here's the deal. There are words in here, receive. I don't do anything. I receive it. The promises that we read at a lot of meetings tonight, things you receive. The promises we read on 85, the recovery promise, things we get from God. All we have to do is get out of the way. And if we get out of the way, we receive the gifts from God. It's not complicated. And how do you get out of the way? You turn away from your self-centered thoughts all the time, and you turn back to God. And when you turn back to God, you get everything you need. Remember the contract on the third step? I have my new sponsor, he's right in the book. It's God's on one side and me. What's my job? To stay close to God and do His work well. And what's God's job? He gives me everything I need and He has worry. And if I stay close to God and do His works well, God will give me everything I need. Now, if I'm not close to God doing His work, I'm doing my work, I get nothing. I get me. I get crap. I get misery. I think I've hammered that enough. If we have carefully followed directions, notice carefully followed directions. Joe Charlie says alcoholics are not careful about anything. Carefully followed the directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. Now, if I haven't followed directions, I can't get the sense of flow of God into me. Now, what do they mean by that? It means if you don't do the deal, you're not going to get the benefits. You're not going to get any change. You're not going to get any spiritual awakening. And you have to follow which directions? You can follow your own directions and tell me the result. If that hasn't worked, they suggest you follow these directions. You know why? Because these worked. Now, is there anybody in the room that's followed these directions and sensed the flow of God into them? Yes, everybody's nodding. So we're telling the new people, do what's these books. And we're on page 85. 85 pages to get a relationship with God. It's not too much. You can read 85 pages in an hour. But you have to do the work. We have begun to sense the flow. So we're beginning now. Now here's the deal, and I think Ed says this well, the more we do it, the more flow we get. And if you stop doing it, the flow stops. So it's like a spigot. Do you turn it on or off? And you turn it on when you stay close to God, it's on, and when you're away, it's off. And so you want to keep doing it. Why? Because you feel better. You have peace. You feel okay. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We are awake. We are aware of God. Now, how do you know that? What's an example? Well, there's been powerful examples in my life, but I'll tell you a few simple ones. Just, you probably, I changed my mind about something. I have an old idea. And then something comes up, and I said, you know, maybe I'll change my mind and do this. Now, I was never able to change my mind before because I was always fixed in my old ideas. But God says to me, you know, Michael, you might want to look at this differently. And then it's always good. So anything that I don't want to do now, I always do because it's usually good. And whenever, do you ever, anybody ever get irritated or angry at anybody?
No.
So I'll say, God, I know this isn't good. I'm not practicing love right now. I don't feel good. And I say, God, change the way I feel. God, save me from being angry. Give me kindness and tolerance. And it gets better immediately. And so I can see it all the time. I mean, there's no limit to the power of God in my life when I allow him to work. That's the key. Do I allow God to work or not? Because remember, on page 84, it says, when we're in self-centeredness, I resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And what they mean is turn my thoughts away from me. And then I think we read, Bill's story, the powerful line. It says, simple but not easy, right? A price had to pay. And this is the price, if you're new, you have to destroy your self-centeredness. Now, how do you do that? It says we must turn in all things to the Father of light. I mean, it's powerful. I have to remember that. So, and we talked about, that's what they mean here. You carry the thoughts of God in all your activities. You carry a vision. You're constantly turning yourself to the Father of the sunlight of the Spirit. So you've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. Well, what does that mean? It means whenever you're disturbed, you know you got to go to God. And it's all vertical. Go to God first. You can go to God first and then call your sponsor, or you can call your sponsor and he'll tell you to go to God. But it's got to start with the verticals. First things first. Seek ye first. And so we go to God and then we change. But we must go further, and that means more action. So just step 10 is not enough. You need to do step 11 too, which is prayer and medication or meditation. Medication. Somebody wanted to know when the medication was coming. Not in this meeting. So step 10 is inventory. Continue to take personal inventory, how we're to behave all day long. Step 11 is prayer meditation, how we use prayer meditation to stay close to God, and then inventory all day when we're away from him. It says we should not be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. Now, I prayed all my life, all the time, every minute. I just thought of this yesterday. And I prayed to me. I was my own God. I had this idol, me, my mind, and I was praying to, I didn't realize it. Anybody else do that? I mean, we were praying to false idols ourselves, and it didn't work. And so I want to pray to God now, and I want to pray because it's going to tell me why. What's the next line? It works. It works. If I want conscious contact with God, then I have to spend time with him every day. And the quiet time was actually the most important thing when AA started. They didn't have meetings. They had quiet time. And they would read a scripture, and then they would be quiet for a while, and then meditate on it, and then they would write what they thought about it, and then they would share it. That's the first meeting. How's that? people don't want to hear about scripture or something. They don't want to hear about God. That was AA. That's what got us here today. That's what kept these people sober till they wrote the book. And a lot of people do quiet time today. We have meditation books, whatever. It doesn't matter how you do it as long as you're trying. Now, here's what it says. If I have the proper attitude and work at it. So it's not going to work if I don't have the proper attitude and don't work at it. So what's the proper attitude? I thought about this. The attitude is powerless to power. I'm the powerless one seeking the power. The other thing is total humility, that without God, I'm a broken man, I'm just a mess. And really, there's no hope for me to have any kind of quality of life without God. And you know, you can, the scripture says it differently. We're too nice in AA. We say it doesn't work, you know, our lives are no good, but the thing is, without God, we can't help but practicing self-centered way of life. And it doesn't work. So the proper attitude is I need help. I'm defeated. I can't manage my own life. Now, when can you manage your own life? You can. You can manage your own life in AA if God's the manager and you've given it to Him completely. Now, if you're still going 95% and God's doing 95 and you're doing 5, you're still going to screw up. It has to be 100% management by God, and then He works through me. But not me working through God. God works through me. That makes sense, doesn't it? Steve, I haven't said that before. I'm getting off here today. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Now, this isn't the gospel according to AA. This is just some suggestions. If you don't like it, don't do it. But if your life doesn't work, you might do this. Now, I want to tell you, I've heard people, powerful theological members of AA, PhDs in theology, priests, ministers, people study the gospel, and I've heard it over and over again, the pages 84 and 88 are the most powerful spiritual pages they've ever read. 5 pages. Listen to Father Bill W., if you can, on XA Speakers. Listen to his talk. Listen to the last 20 minutes. It's the most powerful thing I've ever heard. And whenever I get a little down, I play that and listen to Father Bill. He's dead. That was recorded 1982 or something. And anyway, so it says, when we retire at night, does anybody go to sleep at night? Usually it's before midnight because it's a one-day thing, but AA people stay up all night. So, but when you eventually retire, so the 10th step was during the day. What do you do all day? Inventory during the day. The inventory at night is actually at step 11. A lot of people don't know that. They think step 10 is inventory at night. Step 10 is inventorying during the day, all day long. So, and it doesn't really matter as long as you do it. When I retire at night, I constructively review our day. Now, I constructively review means I don't focus on them and how bad they made my day. Right? Anybody else do that? I have to take a constructive review of my day. It's kind of like doing the fourth column. And it says, where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Has anybody ever seen that question before in the big book? It's on page 67, and it's on page 84. Those are the 4 things we ask ourselves all the time. Now, if you're not having a good day and you're upset about anything at all, you're either angry, selfish, dishonest, or fearful. It's not a complicated program. So how do you know when you're not carrying God's will into all your activities? You're resentful, selfish, dishonest, or fearful. So you're going to look back at the day, and you're going to look during the day. And I do this. Fortunately, I've done these meetings and studied the book so many times, I know that I can know it by heart. But you could keep your big book next to your bed, or you could Xerox this page, and you could just pick it up and look at it. 5 minutes, it'll help you. You can spend longer if you want. Some people write it out. Was I resentful? Well, that's not hard to remember. Sometimes it's hard to remember how much judgment I had during the day. I don't know if any of you ever have that problem. Well, I know I judged that guy Ted, but what about at noon? You know, and I'm being funny, but we judge a lot. Now, resentful means judgment, anger, disturbed, bothered by people. Guy was driving too slow today. in front of me. He pulled out in front of me and was going very, very slow. And then I took me 5 seconds to realize I'm not going anywhere in a hurry. And I slowed down. You get it? But I could have spent 30 seconds behind him being disturbed. I guess I'm the only person who's ever done that. Nobody commented. Selfish, selfish. Anybody think about themselves? Now, one thing I mentioned before is how if I don't want to do something, I should do it. Well, usually because I'm self-centered, I don't want to do it. And so I have to say, well, you know, I'm being selfish. Should I do this? And I ask God. I say, am I being selfish or not? And then usually I'm not doing it because I have some self-centered reason. Why? And then I do it and I feel better. Dishonest could be in so many ways. You're dishonest to yourself. You're dishonest to others. You rationalize. I think rationalization is being dishonest with yourself. Making excuses. And then fear. Fear is pervasive through my whole life. I don't know about you. I was afraid all the time. And you know, I don't get as afraid anymore. I was talking to my 5-year-old little princess today, and she's starting kindergarten. And she told me she's never been to that school before, and she's scared because she's never been in that school, and she doesn't know the teacher and this and that. And I said, well, you know, sure you're afraid, and that makes sense, but you could say, well, I'm going to meet new people. I'm going to go to a new school, and I'm going to have fun there. And she thought about it. She says, yeah, it's going to be good. And so it's really the way we look at it. But fear is all pervasive. Do we owe an apology? Did you send the text? I think text has caused more resentments in AA than anything. Before we had texting, we had to actually spend the time to call them and yell at them. Now we can send the text or Facebook in your face. I never look at Facebook anymore. Snapchat, all this other, Twitter, I don't know what that is. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person? And notice the word at once. We don't want to keep things in our head that bother us. But like Ed says, our ego prevents us from calling sometime, right, buddy? We just don't want to do it. We are going to figure it out. So with your sick alcoholic mind, you're going to figure out the thing that bothers you. The only thing you're going to figure out is how to make it worse in your mind. The longer it's in there. And discuss it with another person at once. Why do you want to do it at once? You don't want to carry it over. You don't want to stay disturbed. Now remember, the calling someone at once is on page 84 during the day. But at night, if you're still disturbed, call somebody. And that's why when I work with someone, the texting doesn't work. I don't want them to check in. I want them to call me. I want to hear their voice. I want to hear them tell me what's going on. Because you could say, checking in, doing great, and you're in a rage at home, you know. Were we kind and loving at all? Here's a good one. Kind and loving towards all. It doesn't say, were you kind and loving most of the time? Towards all. You see, that's the goal. We can't reach it, but that's what we want to be. Kind and loving. Now, if you're kind and loving to all, you're going to have a good day. You're going to have a good day. There's no doubt about it. So your day is really good or bad depending on whether you're kind and loving to all, whether you're staying close to God. People say, have a good day. I said, I'm the only person who can screw my day up. They look at me like, what's wrong with him? But it's true. If you have a bad day, it's your fault. Sorry. Doesn't matter what people do or what circumstances happen. It doesn't have to be bad. It just is. What could we have done better? That's a good one. So whenever you see the resentful, selfish, desires, you're afraid, you ask yourself, what could I have done better? Well, I could have been kind and loving. Was I thinking of myself most of the time, or was I thinking of what I could do for others, of what I could pack into the stream of life? Now, I read those in together because it's very good. It's thinking of self, or others, or service into the stream of life. Were you thinking of yourself? Were you thinking of others? And were you thinking of being of service? And if you're thinking of yourself, you can't be thinking of others. And you can't be of service. It's a very clever way they did it. They asked those two questions. But here's the thing. I must be careful not to drift. Notice the word drifting. Into worry, which is fear. Remorse, guilt, or morbid reflection. Morbid reflection is not good. It's usually morbid towards someone or something. And you don't want to do that. Why? Because then you can't be useful to others. Remember, the whole purpose of the book, it says on page 77, is one, we're putting our lives in order, right? And we're putting our lives in order with God, steps 1 through 3, ourselves 4, 5, 6, 7, and the world in steps 8 and 9. But it says our real purpose is to maximally fit myself to do what? Serve God and others. And that's what the deal is. If you're serving God and others, you're going to have a good day and you won't drink. And your life will be better. Now, you may not get more money or the new house or whatever are these problems you think you have, but you'll get peace of mind. You'll feel okay. You'll have quality of life. And then I'm going to end and you'll be glad. After making our review, so you're going to make your review, we pray. We ask God's forgiveness. Now, it's implied in here that you've forgiven everybody that you were upset with. Does that make sense? You've forgiven all of them, and then you ask God to forgive you. And then remember, God forgives us as I forgive them. If you haven't forgiven anybody when you ask the prayer, it's not going to work. Now, why won't you forgive somebody? Because you're in self. You've decided, I can't do it. Have you heard people say, I just can't forgive them? Well, who told you you can't forgive them? You did. And remember, in AA, Sandy Beach says, we forgive everything up to and including crucifixion. And we forgive everybody. Why? Because God forgives us. And we ask God's forgiveness, and that should make you feel good. That should give you peace. And then you inquire, this is the key, I'm going to inquire from God what corrective measures should be taken. So I just don't say, God, forgive me. I'm inquire, and I spend time asking him what corrective measures should be done for the next day. And then the thing is implied here, you go to sleep. And then when you wake up, you're going to have these corrective measures in your mind. God will put them there. Anybody do that? They wake up at 3 and they've got a new answer to their problem. They see things differently. What corrective measures should be taken? I said to stay on the path undisturbed. To stay on the path. Now, remember, we have a path and we don't want to get off on the sidetracks. We want to get back on the path and we want to stay on the path. So anyway, I hope that was helpful. These paragraphs have changed my life. And so I'll open up, and we still got quite a bit of time. So Ed, I did okay, Ed?
You did great.
All right, good. All right, everybody forgives me. Thank you.